Hello, I'm Niall Easton, and this is Roll Call. On today's episode, we brought in our training division. Hey, guys, how you doing? And ladies?
Great.
What's going on?
Doing good.
What's happening?
Good. So I'll introduce Chief Rhodes. And Chief Rhodes, why don't you introduce who you brought today?
All right. I got my training staff. Got Robbie Anderson, Maddie Bailey, Dustin Dinkle, Sean Garrett, and we got Ryan Love with us today.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
And, of course, Cam Ari DeVogue is producing the show today. Thanks for being on tech today, Cam.
You got it.
All right. So let's talk training. What is the UFA training division? What do you guys do out there in Magna? I know a lot of people have seen the training tower. I mean, before I worked here, I saw the training tower. I figured you did some kind of fire training. I didn't know what, but talk about it.
Yeah, we do all the things out there. My focus is just making a fire-centric department and focusing back on our department and what we do and try to increase skill levels and increase the productivity of our firefighters, basically. So we do a lot of training. Not too many days that go by that we're not super busy out at the on the drill grounds.
So are you doing like live fire training, drills? What kind of stuff are you doing?
Everything. So we've got, we got the hands in the air. So we've got, we do live fire. We scheduled out the year. So we have recruit camp coming up. That's 4 months. We leave an open campus so guys can schedule time out to the tower, whatever they want to do. So from, we can run the gamut from high rise to live fire, flashover, extrication, truck ops.
So when
ops,
you say other guys, like
anybody
captains
in the field,
or division, battalion chiefs could say, we're going to come in and bring a group in.
Yep. So we, even though we're busy with the recruits, we can, as long as we're doing one thing, they can work on the other part of the drill ground. And we host a lot of training that way. So...
Gotcha. Well, let's talk a little bit about like last year's recruit camp. Made some changes. How many did you have go through?
I started out with 28, graduated 25, let one go when he was on probation. So 24 in the field at the end of that. We ran the concurrent camp, which was Sunday through Saturday, 7 days a week for probably about 2 months, right, Dustin?
Yeah, about 2 months. Yeah.
So for 2 months, every day, 12, 15 hours a day out at the tower. It was awesome, but we did have some lessons learned. I'll let these guys talk to some of that, what we've tweaked from last year to this year. But yeah, we had divided the camp up into two sections. One started on Sunday, one started on Wednesday.
Okay.
An overlap day on Wednesday. So that was the full day.
Have we done that before? Is that traditional?
No.
That was new?
Yep. Brand new. So we usually run 4 days a week on a normal camp, but with the numbers, we had to get outside the box a little bit. I just don't have enough resources out there to run that many people through to get quality touches on anything. And the repetitiveness becomes an issue, burnout with instructors, and getting enough guys through and enough touches during that camp to make them good firefighters. So got outside the box and mixed it up a little bit, did the concurrent to broke the camp into and kind of went with that.
But, well, let's talk about how camp went. What, give me something that was really good about it, and then something maybe you would have changed or maybe changed for this next one.
Well, I guess, Chief, we want to talk about kind of the change in structure. What we did last year and why we had the two captains and why we have one now.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, and then we'll talk about those things.
Yeah, so we changed the structure up. We had two captains and a specialist out there, and myself and Madison. And keeping it consistent with the two captains and the two groups was difficult. So one of the things I had been toying with for quite a while was reorganizing the division and having myself, one captain, and then bring in another specialist. So we downgraded a position from captain to specialist. Some of the things that we're changing going forward with this camp is my two specialists here will run each section. So they'll, Robbie's, what, your Sunday through Wednesday?
Wednesday through Saturday.
Wednesday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, you're Sunday through Wednesday.
That is correct.
So they'll be the leads on that. And then Captain Dinkle's just going to bounce from camp to camp and keep that pace consistent and keep all the nuances the same. Mm.
So kind of building off of that, the question you asked is good and bad kind of things. So I think the good was allowing multiple folks from operations to come into camp and get that experience. To see what a camp, how it was run, kind of things we did. It was also really cool to put that many folks through. And I think the good part of that is we didn't know if we could make that happen. And we did. We made it happen. It was good. I wouldn't say necessarily bad, but lessons learned was, I think, consistency. We had that Sunday through Wednesday group come in, and they would get all that front-loaded stuff. So let's say, for instance, we were doing fire behavior that week. They would get all those intermediate lectures and some of those beginning lectures. And then when we hit Wednesday, we would do that big, you know, because they were all together at that time. So we would do the big lecture, and we would teach them like a fire behavior lesson, whether it be fire soup or anything like that. And Wednesday would get that right off the bat. And then they would learn all those intermediate and beginning lessons after. So they got a little bit behind for them. Okay. So it was a little bit tough, I guess, trying to get them all on that same page, because we would have Sean's, our group, I guess we were all together last year.
Yeah.
We would try to, I guess how you'd say it was, we, Sean and Robbie, and when those guys were teaching, would try to get those other guys on that same page. And when they would say something in a fire behavior lecture being big, would have no idea what we were talking about. But Sunday's group had all those lectures and all of that, you know, terminology and all those things up front. And you'd get Wednesday come in, and those guys that come on Wednesday were, they have big eyes.
Right. Right.
Didn't know what was going on. So I would say it wasn't bad, but I would say it was a lesson learned. So we adjusted that this year to make that so everybody was on the same page.
Okay.
Yep.
What other things? I mean, you had 23, you said, get through?
24. Yeah.
25 graduated.
Yeah.
How was the general quality of what you saw with the recruits coming in?
It was, I feel like it was a fun group. I mean, we obviously, for what was it, 8 weeks, 9 weeks?
9 weeks, yep.
Yeah, we were with a specific group for 9 weeks. So, I mean, those are other tendencies that we saw that we wanted to change a little bit too, because it's really easy for us to get close with our group and not know the other group as well for when we all came together. So some of the consistent stuff, you got to figure that the same lecture is being taught twice a week.
Oh yeah.
So, and it's even to the fine detail, you know, if, and we would pair it up with some of the other firefighters that came in from operations. So if Robbie was teaching ropes and knots, the counterpart to the other group was teaching ropes and knots. So any, and not just that chapter, but any chapter that Robbie was teaching, that same instructor for the other group would teach it as well. And they're long days. So like the little intricate details of whatever the presentation brings, like specific questions that the recruits are asking, you want to make sure that you talk to that other instructor with all your notes from the day and make sure that we're covering, hey, these questions came up in our group, just make sure that you cover it, and back and forth. And it was just really, really hard. We, with the group of recruits that are coming in, they're going to be firefighters, UFA. We want to make sure that we discuss the same things no matter what. And when we say consistent, it's to the detail.
Right.
So those were things that I don't feel like you can get away with. And that's going to happen. But with this calendar for this next recruit camp coming up, we really got creative and sat in the war room for what? A whole week, figuring out the calendar. And made sure that we hopefully eliminated all those issues.
Gotcha.
Well, and I think too, I think from our standpoint, the three of us were together for one camp. So now we're moving into this next camp and we're splitting this group. So that consistency is even going to be a lot more for us, because we all know what we expect from what we expected from Sunday through Wednesday. And the other inconsistency we can't control, it's in the middle of February and March and it's snow all the time. So that can change. I mean, we have a sunny day and it's nice. We get to go outside and play and do those things. And the other camp may have had 3 feet of snow and they can't get outside until we get it all off the grounds. So it's hard, but I think with this group now, we've definitely made those changes to make this super consistent and really beneficial for these folks.
Yeah. One of the other things that came up too is 7 days around the clock doing recruit school. It's not just the lectures, the presentation, making sure that the recruits are getting their skills down, but you got to figure logistically, like our props, the engines, the ladders that we use. If we were together Sunday through Wednesday and we had like some sort of failure on an engine or a pump or whatever, and it's towards the end of our week, now that group that's coming from Wednesday to Saturday, they need to use that equipment. Like they need to use it. So them having to deal with anything back and forth, vice versa, stuff that's broken, not working, it just caused it. You run into issues with that too. So we were together, 4 weeks, or split for five weeks?
5 weeks.
And then we're all together.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it was super important for us to identify. We didn't want to have two separate groups there last year, but it just kind of worked itself out that way. We tried to bring it together on Wednesdays, but there was still a separation. So this year we're actually going to start this group together for the first week, and then we're going to separate them for five. Mm-hmm. And then they're coming back together as soon as we can get them back together.
Okay.
So that we have a little bit more cohesive group of all 33.
It's more of a logistical challenge, but like Sean said, we sat down and figured it out to keep that consistency. So it is camp 5-3, but for 5 weeks, it's two different groups, and we want to get them together as quick as we can and then mix those recruits together so that they are one consistent camp for as long as we can have them that way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know. So let's talk this next camp. I know Chief Rhodes, last year was a big group.
Yeah.
This year's bigger.
Yeah.
How many recruits are we have coming in?
33. So the chief, I gave him my max number at 32. He wanted to stretch me a little bit, threw me an extra body. And I honestly thought it was going to go up a little bit from there, but we capped it at 33. So some of the tweaks we've had to make just going into just five more bodies, we've had to revamp all the things. Like the classroom added a few extra tables. It's really tight, and that's all we can fit in that classroom. So we've had to rearrange the warehouse just for an extra engine, just for just that extra few people, just to get another company. But yeah, we've been busy rearranging, building, fixing, getting
remodeling
stuff. Yeah. Getting everything ready for this, but we're excited. It's going to be a big group, but we've seen some good folks already.
Good.
So,
well, I know Chief, so he's really pushing like our group information outreach on marketing coming to work here. Mm-hmm. And not really about the numbers, but the quality.
Right.
Yeah. Are you seeing that? Like, are you seeing we have a pretty good group? They come in a little more ready than they have in the past, or what are you seeing?
I think we've got a bunch of differing opinions at this table. Yeah. For me, I know none of them. And that's very odd because I've known somebody in all of the camps moving forward, at least something about them.
Because they've been connected in some way.
Yeah, some way, right? Mm-hmm. And now I know nobody, and which is great for me, that this leaves it for me to do what I need to do and not have those biases or anything like that. So it's good. I don't know about what these guys think.
Well, from my perspective, I get the chance to see all the other departments in the Valley and their training divisions, and I get to speak with those people on a regular basis. And from my perspective, the numbers went up as far as testing who took the test and who applied for the job. And we're starting to see, I think, quality people in that aspect where other departments are struggling to get anybody come to their tests. Some of the smaller agents I've talked to, they have a hard time retaining five people, let alone 33, find 33 good people that'll rise to that level where, you know, like the chief said, he wants character, he wants good character, good people, you know, the things mom taught him when they were young, that kind of person. Those good qualities. And I think that we're starting to attract that sort of person. And that's my view, looking from other departments and then what we're doing to fix that.
Okay. So what you're telling me, maybe it's working, we're getting good quality, but they're not necessarily, in the past, we probably had people more from Wildland or had been part-timers, or you're getting a bunch that are fresh. So that's probably a lot more burden on you guys.
Well, they're still from Wildland and they're still from paid call, but I think, for me, I've been out of operations for so long, I haven't had the chance to work with those folks in paid call, and I don't really know those Wildland folks anymore. So it's just I'm getting further away from knowing those folks. Mm-hmm. So, which is good. It'll be interesting for me, and I'm sure these guys also.
Yeah. It's just whether it's off the street, Wildland or part-time, I mean, there's good and bad people everywhere. And I think it's great that the organization is doing its due diligence in the process and making sure that we feel like we're hiring the right person. But recruit school and what we've put together, I mean, we're going to learn a lot about these individuals in 16 weeks, but as intense as it is, they're going to learn a lot about themselves too. And you could have a really, really great person on paper that could decide a day into it, this ain't for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what our job is. Like being involved with the hiring process, whether it's interviews or the physical agility, it's such a small snapshot of a person. I mean, I understand they're doing more of a lengthy background check and everything else, but when they come out and the rubber meets the road and they've got a PT and they've got to maintain their skills on the fire ground and they got to maintain the keeping their test scores up and reading and studying and ironing their uniform and dealing with all the home stuff, it's going to weigh on them. And we want to make sure at the end of 16 weeks, whether or not this person, if we trust them to go work with our best friends out in operations.
Well, and I think ultimately, right, the chief is doing the things he needs to do to bring in those quality folks, but it's our job to make sure that they come out quality also.
Yeah. For sure.
They're great people. We've met most of them.
All but three.
Yeah.
We had a brief touch with them. They came out for an orientation. They asked some good questions. But you know, just trusting that process that the chief's put forward in the test and what it is to get those values and those ethics that we're looking for at the UFA. And then we briefly speak with them. And like Sean said, the rubber meets the road in February and that's where they'll be tested for sure.
Now it's up to you guys to make them firefighters.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's our goal.
Get them ready.
So how's the, it sounds like you mentioned this just a little bit just now, but how's the onboarding process different than it's been in the past? Cause it sounds like you have a little more touch with them than you used to.
Yeah. So, we've revamped a lot of what we did on the front load of camps. In the past, you would basically, show up at orientation. We would give you our best run at telling you what camp's all about. We would coordinate, you know, Madison would coordinate uniforms and picking up books and things like that. And then we would say good luck. But taking a different approach this year, I've sat through all the processes thus far. So I've sat through all the open houses. I've gone to all the writtens. I get ones on the oral board. So I've seen all these people multiple times to begin with. And then we offered up a mini orientation, if you will, or an open house at the tower and scheduled the days. So once they got their contingent offer, we would invite them to come out. So they would spend a couple hours in the morning with my training staff and they would go over expectations and answer any questions, talk about the uniform policy, what they needed to bring the first day, what to expect, what the days would be like. We got them a nutrition plan so they could start working on being healthy when they come in. We got them workout plans so they could start getting into physical condition that would make them successful in camp. And then another thing that we did is the last recruit camp. It's part of the journeyman process. We enlisted those guys to be mentors to these new guys. So each one of the last recruits out of class 52 got a name assigned to them and they made a phone call to the new recruit coming on board and questions that they wouldn't otherwise ask us in the classroom. They were able to convey that over the phone. And talking to some of the guys and gals from camp 52, they've reached out and they said they've had multiple phone calls and answered a ton of questions. So these guys really have an upper hand coming into this camp, which is awesome. They have all the information that they need. They have a mentor that's just went through a camp that's reaching out to help them in any way. So,
well, cause I mean, really it's an investment for us. Yeah, we want them to
absolutely
succeed.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We want them all to succeed. I mean, it's,
they've got to succeed at the right level,
but they have to, but having the information and coming in ready is part of that. Right. So I see some good things moving forward. We're already talking about some different plans next year, just brainstorming. But I think we're laying the groundwork down way ahead of time and getting these guys more ready than they've ever been coming into camp. So that'll allow us to just step into it a little quicker pace.
Okay.
So
in addition to the guys you got here, who else is going to be teaching and helping with this throughout the process?
I'll start my group, the Sunday through Wednesday group. We're bringing in specialists, Molly Doyle, Chad Pate, and Ryan Jensen for my group.
Yeah, and then I've got specialist Nick Lund, specialist Micah Stratton, and firefighter Jay Honey.
Okay. So what do you pull from the field for that? What are they coming in for?
It's interest first for sure.
Yeah.
When we had firefighters and specialists submitting their interest or their resumes. I mean, what we're looking for is someone that we know has instructor experience and all of all these specialists do, whether it's EMT school, whether it's, you know, both the high school programs, whether it's different trainings that they put on in operations. But it's also, I mean, I feel like us three, well, us four, really, I mean, we share the same passion for the fire department world or the job. And those are definitely things too, that we want a certain amount of intensity. I don't know. You agree, Robbie?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, I mean, we have that all over the place at the UFA, but just we're looking for people that we know are going to come in and be high speed.
It's tough with the folks that you bring in, right? We get the resumes come in and we have to kind of take, all right, who matches with who in each respective camp. Like, is this personality fit with this personality? Because we have to have certain personalities within camp. We can't have somebody just stomping on everybody all the time. Sometimes we have to have those folks that are a little bit lighter because they all respond differently to those things. Some people respond to that hard, you know, nose kind of thing, mm-hmm. and other ones need a little bit softer. So we kind of have to juggle that and see where it's at, and that's where we go. But the most important thing I think we have to realize is that Sean is right. Our passion for making these folks the best they can be, because they need to realize that this, at any one moment, it is life and death. It really is. And they have to be ready to do this job when it's time to do this job. So we try to pick those folks, I think, who have put the time and the effort and really have the passion for the job to,
instill that in the recruits.
Well, yeah. And I think too, it helps us, because I think we're all three kind of like-minded, and we try to pick some folks that are not that like-minded the way we think, but a little bit off, that kind of keep us in check a little bit.
Yeah. We also had to get, you know, creative too, and look at those resumes that came in and the personalities, because it's a long 16 weeks, right? Long days, long nights, and it's stressful in that build. So we have to pick the right people. Commitment. Yeah. It's the right people that, you know, we know can give it their best and get along and just make it a better 16 weeks for everybody.
No, yeah. They're going to be all the tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some of those decisions aren't easy either.
No,
so not at all.
We've sat, I don't know how many days in the war room, just bantering back and forth and rearranging names and putting the teams on paper and then seeing what that looks like and then mixing it up a little bit. And everybody that put in was very qualified to do the job. It's just picking the right backgrounds, the right passion, the right personalities, how they come across. And then building those, the perfect teams.
And we're trying to keep that 4-to-1 ratio as far as recruit to instructor, right? We don't want anybody to get lost in the process. We want everybody to have the touches they need, right? We want to make them small classroom sizes, mm-hmm. so that they get the training that they need. Cause ultimately 16 weeks seems long, but it's not that long for us. It's not
day one. It seems like it's long.
Yeah. So it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of contact, and we will do everything in our power. We'll stay there late. We'll come in early if whatever they need, as long as we're getting effort from them and progression, we will be there all the time. Right. Awesome. Our families end up hating us, but it is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so if I'm one of these new recruits and I happen to be listening to this, cause hopefully they're all subscribers, what is day one? I've got the butterflies.
What am I giving? We ain't giving that away, dude. No way.
Generic.
There's some cards we hold close.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Going back to a few questions ago when you were talking about the difference from like recruit camp 5-2 and then these individuals from 5-3 that had their orientation here the other night, and Robbie can attest to this, like just the atmosphere and the feeling that we had at the orientation, mm-hmm. was night and day difference.
Agreed.
And I think a lot of that, and when I say difference, it, like, you could hear a pin drop in the room. Like, they were super nervous, and that's good. But they've had the opportunity to meet with us, and we haven't scared them. No. I mean, Robbie's got a face for radio, but
mm-hmm. sure do. That's why I'm on here.
But like, they've also talking to the recruits that came out from last year's group. You know, I'm sure that they're amping them up and kind of letting them know some things, which is awesome. And then they've made the GroupMe app.
Yeah, that's
and all the individuals that are going to be in camp are all talking to each other. So they're getting to know each other before.
Yeah, building.
And I think they have a little bit better of an idea of what they've gotten themselves into, for sure. Mm-hmm. And like, even just out in the hallway, just waiting for them, like, none of them will make eye contact with any of us. We had a couple make, you know, quick 180s and turn the other direction and make sure that if they're going to walk by us, they had a group of people with them. And you just tell a difference, and that's good. And you can tell that they're mentally focused and, mm-hmm. and ready. Yep. Yeah, I'm not giving away our secrets.
The generic version of the first day would be this. They need to understand that they're coming to work for the UFA, and what we believe is the best department in the state. They'll understand and know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is it.
It's a lot of pride. Awesome. A lot of ownership goes into that first day. Well, the whole camp, honestly, but we instill that right off the get go.
Thanks for joining us, Chief Rhodes, and everybody else. Really appreciate you being here. One thing I've just heard is that it is a certain person's birthday here.
Captain Dinkle's birthday.
So he's
54 years old.
Doesn't look a day over 60.
Not even close.
Well, so I think we need to do a roll call first and sing a little happy birthday. What do you guys think?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Come on, Maddie. You got the voice.
And a 3, 2, 1.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Neat.
Happy birthday, old man Dinkle.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
It's almost over, too.
All right. That tempo was a little slow, a little morbid, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And for roll call, this is Niall Easton. Until next time.